and it's number 80, and the man whose name you see appended is Thomas Kelly. Now, this man was a very remarkable man. I looked into Moody's Who's Who in the Church to see what they had to say about him. He was saved at 20, a graduate with highest honors in the classics from Trinity College in Dublin, and they say a man of rare logical skill, fine precision, high moral power, and spiritual courage. A prolific writer and lecturer of scriptural subjects, a keen critic and controversialist, and an uncompromising opponent of all forms of higher biblical criticism. They say this man earned wide reputation as a scholar. He was a man, of course, who was very deeply involved in the beginning of the assembly movement. Look ye, saints, their sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight. Return victorious, every knee to him must show bow. Number 88. Oh, and we'll rise in a moment to sing it. Let's stand and sing. Bring it out now. We're a little smaller choir this morning, so you have to sing twice as well.
The late Mr. Alfred P. Gibbs, I had the privilege of knowing for just a little while as a young Christian, and it was something unique about Mr. Gibbs' ministry that when he finished, he would leave you with something always to remember from the Word of God. And regarding the psalm that our brother mentioned in his prayer, where the psalmist said, "He hath brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and hath set my feet upon a rock, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." And Mr. Gibbs says,
"Out of the mire, into the choir."
You see. Now, that's been 30 years ago I heard that, and it stuck with me, and how true it is. Out of the mire, into the choir. We want to sing some choruses now out of our chorus sheet, and maybe we'll learn a new one today, an old new one. But first of all, number 22, sing, make a joyful sound. Sing, life in Christ is found. Wages of sin and death, he paid it all. Number 22, sing it right out.
Sing, make a joyful sound. Sing, life in Christ is found. Wages of sin and death, he paid it all. Sing, make a joyful sound. Sing, life in Christ is found. Now in
sing. Thank the Lord for that. Now another one. Number 11. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Number 11.
Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness, who light could I see? Oh, what a wonder he put his great arm under. God, he lifted me up, he lifted me up, I know. He reached down his hand and he lifted me up. That's why I love him so. I love him more and more. I love him more and more. And when at last I reach the other shore, I love him more and more.
He caught me off guard then. Now, Mr. Erickson had no way of knowing, and our songster had no way of knowing, but our subject this morning comes from Psalm 40. And the first three verses, which have been twice already quoted for you. Let me read them to you, and then I'm going to ask for two testimonies from the audience, because this is a portion of testimony. And our hymns this morning have been hymns of testimony. But I would like a testimony from two men who have never given a testimony before here in this chapel. Now, I realize there's always a risk when I do this, because there are some men who say, this is my opportunity, now I'm going to preach a sermon. But when I say aloud, amen, that means thank you for standing up, you've said enough, please sit down. But of course it isn't likely that either of the two men whom the Spirit of God leads to give a testimony in a moment or two are going to take a long time to speak. We just want 2 minute testimonies from two from the congregation. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Amen. I too was saved through Romans 10 and 9. We used to sing a chorus. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine. Confessing Christ as Lord, I'm saved by grace divine. For there the... What's next? There the word of promise in golden letters shine, Romans 10 and 9. Now, yesterday morning, I talked about the history of music among the people of God, and last night about the importance of music to the people of God, and just briefly this morning, I want to talk about the experience of music within the people of God. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. A new song. Now this means more than new means when you say, I just got a new hat, or I just bought myself a new suit. There's something that is much more profound in it than that. But you'll notice that once again, we are plucking this string called music. Music this time in the heart. Music doesn't always need strings or brasses or percussion. Some music is very effective without a lyre or a trumpet or without cymbals. Music sometimes doesn't even have a voice. It makes no sound, but it is music that sings in the heart. And that is probably the most wonderful music of all, because it doesn't matter what the circumstances may be that come upon the child of God. The song in the heart always wells up to drown the things that would cause us to sink in discouragement and despair. He put a new song in my mouth, it says here. But it was a song that welled up into the lips, out of the heart. Sometimes that music is muted, but it is never silenced. The psalmist said, they asked us to sing one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The people of God refused to amuse their enemies, but the song was still there, muted, but not silenced. Sometimes the music finds little response, but it's never wasted. I mentioned that scripture, as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Sometimes music may not get a response, but it never goes to waste. And the song in the heart is called a new song, and that is more because of its nature than anything else. Let me, in these 19 minutes, mention 6 things that make me feel that this new song is a very special kind of song. In the first place, it's a new song because it is radically different. It is not possible throughout this whole wide world of all time to discover a song like this song. It's so different from the world. And the reason for this is it has a heavenly composer, it has a heavenly theme, and one day, because we are just rehearsing now, one day it's going to have a permanent and eternal heavenly setting. There's no other song about which those things can be said. It's not only different from the world, it's different from the natural. The parts that comprise it are not the parts that comprise a song that's written by the world. This is a song that doesn't need notes, and it doesn't need chords, and it doesn't have to have a special time. Its parts are different, and the techniques that produce it are different. You don't have to have a singer with a sweet voice like Brother Hurley to be able to sing this song. It may be true that you can't carry a tune in a bucket, but you can still sing this song because the techniques that produce it are so different. And the needs that demand it are different. It isn't difficult to find in this old world men and women who spend their time writing music because they want to make money. Money is oftentimes the motive for writing songs in the world. Sometimes it's a desire for fame, and indeed fame comes to some worldly songwriters. But the needs that demand this one are not needs like that. The needs for this song are the sorrowful hearts and the unconverted folk around us who need to sense that song, feel that song, see that song manifested in our lives so that it might meet their needs. And again, the crowds that applauded are different. In a coming day in the glory, oh, I love that song as Hurley sang it. Angels will have to fold their wings, for angels never knew the joy that our salvation brings. Can you imagine the audience that we'll have in the angels, all those angelic beings who will, and I noticed in the last verse he sang it this way, not they will fold their wings, but they will cease to sing. And indeed they will, because we are going to have an audience of angels as we sing this new song, the song of redemption. It is radically different. Different from the world, different from the natural, and it is different from the ordinary, because this is the only song that can change the lives of men and women. It's a new song, because it is radically different. It's a new song because it is continually fresh. Now, that's a very strange thing, because other music changes, and this music never does. And yet it never loses its freshness, because the fount of song is the ever-fresh God who pours it constantly into the hearts and so into the lips of his people. Other music changes, this never does. Other music palls. There are lots of worldly songs, and you hear them once or twice. A few disc jockeys who are paid to do it, play the songs, but they don't catch on, and it isn't very long before they have been entirely forgotten. But not this song, because it is continually fresh, and it's a song that satisfies the heart. It's a song that quiets the frustrations. It's a song that brings joy in the midst of sorrow. It's continually fresh. Other music dies. But this music is going to be carried on into and throughout the ages of eternity. I was going to read to you from Revelation chapter 5, but I didn't do it for the sake of time. But it says there of the redeemed, again, that they sing a new song. And it's going to be the old song. And yet it's going to be a song that's as fresh at the end as it was at the beginning. It is not only radically different, it is continually fresh. It is also exclusively experienced. Everybody doesn't get to know this song. Everybody doesn't get to experience singing like this. Everybody doesn't have this wonderful music down in their heart. It says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, some of us have gone over these three things before. He brought me up, He set me up, He holds me up. And that's the secret. And that's what makes this song exclusively experienced. You can only sing this song if your sins are gone, if you've been brought out of the mire and into the choir, as we were hearing. It's a very exclusive song. It's meant only for believers, only for Christians, but praise God, it is meant for every believer. They've been brought up and set up, and they are being held up, and the song is theirs. And then it is practically powerful. It's a new song because it works powerfully. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And early in the service we were reminded, that's a very strange expression, many shall see it. If you have the song in your heart, even in those moments when it's not escaping your lips, it's visible in the light in your eyes, and the spring in your step, and the joy with which you live life. Many shall see that. That's the evidences of having the new song, and they'll fear, and they'll trust in the Lord. Oh, it's practically powerful. If you are a witnessing believer, and you're a joyful witnessing believer, if the song in your heart is in evidence in your life, people are going to be drawn to you. As we were hearing from our friend here, that he saw something in a young man that attracted him. It didn't seem to be anything negative that he didn't do this and he didn't do that and he didn't do the other. It was something positive, because the things he didn't do were the things that threatened to destroy him. And this man said, I want what he has. You know what he did? He saw the song, and he feared, and he put his trust in the Lord. I hope every one of us is that kind of person who is magnetic for God, because the song in the heart is spilling over in the life, and people can't help but witness it. So it's new because it's radically different, and it's new because it's continually fresh. And it's new because it is exclusively experienced and because it is practically powerful. It's a song that works. But it's also new because it is divinely bestowed. It was He that put this song into my mouth. You can't learn it anywhere else. You cannot receive it any place else. He brought me up. He set me up, and he hath put a new song into my mouth. This is what God does for a man when he reaches out, as we were singing, and lifts him up. He puts a song in his mouth. And a song from God has to be a real song. And finally, it is a new song because it is eternally echoed. We're going to sing it. We're going to hear it. We're going to rejoice by means of it throughout the countless ages of eternity. Read Revelation chapter 5. In fact, I'll take a moment just to read it to you, and you'll see how that this song is going to go on and go on, and nothing is going to be able to still it, and nothing is going to be able to interrupt it. In Revelation chapter 5, we read, verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying," and now you know what it's all about, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You wondered what the song was all about? Well, there it is. It's the song of the worth of the Lord Jesus, because of what he has done for his people. You notice how music constantly brings us back to the person of the Lord Jesus. "They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy." Isn't it a tragic thing that there are so many people in this old, sad, and troubled world who have found no beauty in him, found no worth in him, who pass him by as though he doesn't matter, and do not realize that when they do that, they dash their hopes of heaven to the ground, for Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Oh, make sure that you come to the Father by him. Make sure that the Lord Jesus has been faced in your life as an issue, and that you have received him and been born again, and that your life is a life that is manifesting this new song.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit and washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking up this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, how we thank Thee for this shining note of testimony as we bring our service to a close. How very wonderful the grace of God is that we can each one of us sing, Jesus is mine. If indeed the moment has come in our lives when He has been received, then He's with us and He never will leave us. And we thank Thee that the song of heaven has already begun in our hearts. And oh, we pray that we may be faithful and convey it by our witness and by our lives to others. We ask in His name.